The first Bible reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 1. That's on page 1063 in the Bibles at the end of the pews. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The Word, that is Jesus, became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. The second Bible reading is Psalm 12. That's on page 548 in the church Bibles. Psalm 12, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. Everyone lies to their neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue that says, we will triumph with our tongues. We own our lips. Who is our master? Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. O Lord, you will keep us safe and protect from such people forever. The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name's Shane Trinder, if you don't know me. I'm part of the family here at St. James. Now, I have a little bit of information for you at the start, and that is, when I prepare my sermons, I use the internet, and I copy the NIV passage from the internet. And the NIV passage I've copied is very slightly different than the one we've had read out to us this morning. So there are a few little differences in the quotes I use, but I'm hoping that will keep you on your toes. Now, the thing is, those differences in Bible versions, they're not out to deceive us. They're simply the interpreters and the people who are rewriting the Bible trying to say the best thing to help us understand what's going on. But that's not always the case with words, is it? There's been a lot in the media over the last 2 or 3 years about fake news, how it influences us, especially with reference to politics. And we may think that fake news is a new thing, but it isn't. Lies and deceptions have been around as long as language itself. And it's just today that we have a greater choice of fake news, if you like. How can we know what to believe? Whose words can we trust? who is faithful in what they say. And Psalm 12 has a few things to say on this matter. Now, King David, he's in a fix. He's crying out for help. He feels isolated. He can't trust anyone anymore. His friends have let him down. His advisors have let him down. He no longer trusts their words. He no longer trusts them. Now, words are so important, aren't they? They don't just tell us what others think about things. They tell other people about who we are. They're not just a way of transmitting information. They say what kind of person we are. People will judge us by our words. And as they get to know us, they will get to know our words better. They'll be able to tell when we're being serious and when we're just joking around. Now, we don't know when David wrote this psalm. It could have been when he was being chased around by King Saul, in which case David wasn't a king at that time. Or perhaps more likely, when his son Absalom tried to take the throne and King David and his associates basically had to run for their lives. Either way, he's in a fix. He's crying out for help. Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. Or an alternative version is, for no one is faithful anymore. He feels backed into a corner. He feels there is no one he can turn to. The faithful have vanished from among men. Or those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone is out to deceive each other. No one can be trusted. In verse 2, everyone lies to their neighbour. They flatter with their lips, but harbour deception in their hearts. And there are so many different ways to deceive with words. Flatter with their lips is like saying smooth talkers. They're the smooth talkers, the one who draw you into thinking they know a good thing or two. Come here, come here. There's this investment. It's a bit dodgy, but it's a no-brainer, really. It can't possibly go wrong. Put all your savings in it. It's a sure thing. It's a certain winner. And there are those who harbour deception in their hearts, double talk, saying one thing and meaning another. Now, that insurance policy I sold you the other day, it covers everything. Or did I say everything? Well, I mean, you might need to take out a bit of extra product insurance and extra warranty and product replacement insurance. But apart from that, it covers everything. And so forth. I'm sure you can think of your own examples. And these are not people simply saying something but have got it wrong or misunderstood the situation. It goes beyond that. In verse 3, may the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. These people are out to make others know their opinions. They want to let certain people know what they believe. Their opinion matters. And we've all been there, haven't we? I know I have. I just had to say my bit. Let people know what I think. Well, I'm important, aren't I? And my opinions are important. And these words, they don't just come from our mouths. They come from a place much deeper inside. They think their words can get them out of any kind of trouble. In verse 4, by our tongues we will prevail. Our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? This is a thought process. This is coming from the heart. Now, Jeremiah the prophet had this to say about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We don't like to think of our hearts as being deceitful. We tend to like to think the best about ourselves. Anyway, what real effects will our words have? How much harm can they really do? We overestimate our importance to the point that we push God out of the picture. We underestimate how much harm our words can actually do. These words, these thought processes, ultimately come from a place of pride. From their hearts, they are asking, who rules over us? Who can tell us what to do? And they have turned their hearts away from God. And they think they can get out of anything by talking their way out. And what possible effect can this have on the world and society? And we're told, aren't we, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words won't hurt anybody, will they? Rarely has a saying been less true? Society is built on ideas, laws, and standards. If we misuse words or change their meaning, it will change how society works. There will be winners and there will be losers. There will be those in the know who will be the winners because they can use those changes to their advantage, and there are those who don't see what's going on or refuse to cooperate. They will be the losers. And this is the case in this psalm. David can see it. He can see all this deception and how it's affecting his community. In verse 5, the poor are plundered and the needy groan. This is the practical outworking of these faithless words. Society doesn't work properly. There is disorder, and those who suffer are the poor and needy. And if you build a society on those things, you're building it on sand. And when the wrong conditions come along, it will fall flat, just like the house that was built on sand. So we have the situation, verse 7 and 8, where the wicked strutted about, and what is vile is honoured. They can say what they like without fear or consequences. They strut about when what is vile is honoured by the human race. The wicked become more and more bold and no longer try hiding their ideas. Indeed, they put them out there. They flaunt them in full view of all to see. They proudly display them before everyone. And those who don't agree with them become maligned by them in verse 5. And another word you could use for maligned is cursed. They will be cursed by them. Those who refuse to strut will be cursed for standing at the side, cursed for standing up for what is right. And we see that today when the media go after someone and they want someone to say something and hear something. And I think about Tim Farron at the last general election. He was hounded for his Christian views. David complained that no one is faithful anymore. He didn't have anyone he could turn to, no one he could put his trust in. Yet who is faithful? Those who join in the deception? No. Those who stand and say nothing? Maybe. Whose words really can be trusted? Words used properly are the most powerful thing. And we see that in advertising and politics and media. Well, after all, every little helps, doesn't it? Now, I'm loving it, which I'm not. I don't love it, actually. And for those who are a little bit longer in the tooth, beans means Heinz, and somebody makes exceedingly good cakes, and a day helps you work, rest, and play. And we know these phrases because they are thrown at us, but they make connections with us. And you can probably think of a lot more of those phrases, but not just advertising, it's politics as well. To coin a phrase, help make St. James great again. This is why their misuse is so important to identify. Why we need to know whose words we can really trust. Otherwise, we find ourselves, like David, feeling trapped and crying out for help. But David knew whose words he could trust. He'd been brought up on them. Just as a shepherd boy, he'd taken his sheep out to good pasture. Someone had been feeding him on words that he could believe in. And when he needed help, it was God's word he turned to. In verse 6, "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times." And for David, that meant the Old Testament. And in fact, it meant just the books of the law. He knew God's words were flawless, that they were like pure silver or gold. And by putting silver or gold in a little furnace and heating it up, the impurities float to the top and you scrape them off. And you keep doing that. You repeat that process until you have the pure element. And you don't have to try and purify God's word. It's already pure. It's just trustworthy through and through. And David knew that he could trust God's word, that he could build his life on it. He knew God would protect the needy and keep them safe. Ultimately, He would protect them from the wicked. Verses 7 and 8. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked, who freely strut about when what is vile is honoured by the human race. The needy will be kept safe forever. And yet, the wicked still strutting about. And the psalm feels almost unfinished. David writes from what he can see that there is no one who is faithful in the whole of the human race. That people lie and their hearts are deceptive. Ultimately, he can only rely on God's written word. But that's not the whole story. We know a person through their words. Their words say something about them. God's written word, the Bible, is like pure gold, like a rock, a firm foundation. But when God wanted to make his word have even more impact, when he wanted to get our full attention, he made his word into a person. His word became visible so that we could see his word as well as hear it. He made them into Jesus. And John wrote, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is what happened when God sent Jesus, his son, into the world. God's word became one of us, became human. God himself was now with us, and we could relate to him in a way that was never possible for David. David yearned for someone who was faithful, someone he could put his trust in at the time of need. Here at last was that person, a person whose words were pure and trustworthy, just like God's written word. The words Jesus spoke were God's very words. Jesus spoke only what the Father has told him to say. John wrote in chapter 12, Jesus is speaking, "For I do not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." So Jesus says, whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. And what kinds of words did Jesus say? He spoke words of healing, sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, healing of chronic illnesses. He spoke words of comfort to the bereaved, encouragement to the downcast, welcome to the outcast, words of forgiveness to the sinner, guidance to the lost, peace to those within a turmoil. He spoke words that humbled the proud, confused the wise, and silenced his critics. His words were always true, whether he spoke them to his friends, his enemies, the crowds, the individual. His yes was yes, and his no was no. You can put your trust in his words, build your life on them. You can cling to them in your darkest moments. Sing of them when your heart is full of hope. They are gold that will never perish, a rock that will never fail, a sword that cuts both ways, food for your stomach, honey, sweeter than honey, a light to your feet, a living word that is everlasting. Don't put your trust in man's empty words. Trust only in the living word of God. Trust him in the light and in the darkness, in the happy times and the sad. Remember the house built upon the rock. It was hit by the same storm that leveled the house built on the sand. The storm battered both houses, but only one remained standing, the one built on the rock of God's words. Jesus is our rock on which we can stand, our light by which we can see. He is our safekeeping for eternity. David didn't have that great privilege that we have. He knew he couldn't trust humankind, but he could trust God. We have seen God's word in all his glory. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When words fail you, look to him. When you say your last word, look to him. Our world is full of words coming at us from all directions, and we can feel in a fix. We have more words and information than ever, and less time to decide which are true. We may feel that we live in a world in which humanity has failed. Vile things are displayed in full view of all. It may even feel that the wicked are winning. What is true is even more amazing than we can imagine. As Christians, we have God's own word and his living word on which to put our trust. We don't have to have fake news. We have the good news of Jesus on which to build our lives. And this news is freely available for everyone. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let it slip through your fingers. Find out more about it. And if you have any questions, please ask. Or get your name down for the Christianity Explored course in the autumn, and which you can take your questions along and find out answers. Please ask if you have any questions. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.